Strange Stories UK here again, calling this one the background to the 2024 Nicholas Billingham Fiona Beale trial podcast. Well, this is a strange case. The trial or retrial of the Nicholas Billingham Fiona Beale has been promised various times. Dates were given, such as the 26th of February this year, 2024. Then it was the 25th of March. Then it was the 2nd of April. All scheduled at the Old Bailey. But none of these took place. The Central London Courts at the Old Bailey said that it listed being between 4 and 8 weeks in length. I suggest it's going to be the later. Well, it's no surprise there's such a backlog of cases if court cases are organised like this one. It's probably quite a complicated case, and that may be part of the reason why the case has shifted from Northampton Crown Court to the Old Bailey, the Central London Courts. Judge Mark Lutcraft, King's Counsel, is to be the judge when the case actually starts, and at the moment he's in charge of another case that's greatly overrun with many stops and starts, and that's the Constance Martin Mark Gordon case, which I've also made podcasts on. I came to hear about the Billingham case when covering the trial of Constance Martin, as the case had overrun and the judge in that case had been allocated to the Billingham Beale retrial and he had to take time out to sort out legal matters. As the Constance Martin case is still not resolved, that will be the reason for the delay in this case, although it was clear that the Constance Martin case wasn't going to finish by April, but it was still being claimed that the Billingham Beale case was going to start on the 2nd of April. I'd imagine that it was common knowledge to everybody taking an interest, but it seemed to pass those running the UK court systems. Anyhow, the Constance Martin case will not finish before mid-April at the earliest, and the Billingham Beale case will go on until late June, as long as they don't have huge delays as they have experienced in the first mistrial of the case. So I will post this podcast now telling the Nicholas Billingham Fiona story up until the present time, and then post another pod at the end of June, which may be the last podcast of Series 7. If the trial is finished by this point, of course. There is another recent podcast that I've been following, which I can recommend. It's called Fresh from the Old Bailey, and I would imagine that they will be following the Billingham Beale case. So, I will give a brief history of the Beale Billingham case to date, and then we'll do a podcast when the Old Bailey case is concluded. Well, Fiona Beale first met Nicholas Billingham in the summer of 2004, when she was aged 30 and living in a shared house with friends. He was aged 23 and said to be a builder, but he also bought and sold things. They were in a relationship on and off since that date. Beale took a job as a teaching assistant in 2012 and qualified as a teacher in 2015 at the age of 41. Nicholas Billingham serially cheated on Beale and had many women sexual partners without her knowledge. One of these relationships produced a child with a woman called Andrea in 2018. Although Billingham went back to Beale, with whom it's also rumoured he had a daughter. Fiona Beale was renting a flat with Billingham from July 2005 at Compton Way, Earlsbarton, which is a village in Northamptonshire, before they moved to 71 Moore Street in Northampton. Fiona Beale was the only person on the electoral register at the property, as Billingham did not want his name on any official documents, as he said there were debt collection agencies looking for him. I think Billingham was a wheeler dealer. He was described as a builder, and later evidence suggested that he also dealt in second-hand cars and other items. Fiona Beale had been on benefits when living at the property, and as Billingham had been living there also, she would not have claimed this fact, and if she was discovered for benefit fraud, she would find it unlikely to find a job teaching. It was later stated by Bill that she did fraudulently claim benefits, as she had been persuaded to do so by Billingham. She also claimed a single person's council tax discount at the property. In September 2018, Nicholas Billingham moved in with Andrea, where he remained for about 3 months before finding out that Andrea was pregnant. This caused Billingham to move to his cousin's house and then onto a shared accommodation. Fiona Bill told the court later that during this time, Mr. Billingham would turn up at the Earls Barton address crying and saying that he had made a mistake and he wanted to move back in with her. That's Fiona. Bill said that she decided to let Mr. Billingham move back with her in early 2019 after he promised to go legit and he had made a proposal of marriage. By 2020, Fiona Bill was a Year 6 teacher at Eastfield Academy in Northampton. Fiona Bill and Nick Billingham bought a two-bedroom terraced house at 71 Moore Street during late February 2020 for £188,000 after paying a £7,000 deposit. As said, I think they moved there with a daughter. Well, that's the rumour. Bill said that when they first moved in, things were okay, but then it quickly deteriorated. The COVID pandemic started the next month, and Billingham was said by Bill to have become angry and aggressive, as if he was trapped. Bill had contacted her doctor to ask for an increase in her antidepressant medication. Nicholas Billingham was last seen on November the 1st, 2021. On February the 6th, 2022, police community officer or support officer Nomi Morella was trying to contact Mr. Billingham after his van was found abandoned. Once she found the owner details, she called at the house at Moore Street, saying a white female opened the door and stated that Mr. Billingham was her ex-partner and that they had recently separated. The female was said to have an expression on her face when she opened the door that can only be described as a kind of shock. She said that she did not know where Billingham was and doubted he was still in Northampton. She claimed that she had been trying to find him as he still had belongings at the house. It wasn't until March 2022 when Bill came to the attention of the police in Kendal, Cumbria, in the north of England. A phone call had been made to the police by Bill's head teacher, Claire Mills, after she called in sick towards, that's Fiona Bill, called in sick towards the end of February 2022. On March the 11th, the head teacher called Fiona Bill's mother, who said that her daughter had told her that she was on a school residential. This caused the head teacher to call the police. Bill had booked into a lodge in Cumbria near Lake Windermere in the Lake District from the 6th of March to the 16th of March 2022. After her head teacher reported her missing, the police had located her, and Fiona Bill told the police that she wanted some peace and quiet. She said she was feeling fine, but she needed time to think and to be alone. Bill said that she did not want her family to be told where she was. She said she was not feeling suicidal, but had been in the past. On the 15th of March 2022, she sent a group message to her family saying, "I'm sorry, I love you all so much." After the first contact with the police, they seemed to be contacted again and went back to check on Fiona Beale, who was found in a bath with superficial cuts to her wrist after the police forced entry. Police found a note on a plate which said, "Don't go in the bathroom." Bill was found naked in the bath with cut wrists. She awoke after her ear was pulled. The wounds were said to be superficial. Police said that sinister acoustic music was being played from a mobile phone that was next to her. It was never made clear if it was thought to be a genuine suicide attempt. That's probably more of a cry for help. An ambulance was called for as the police took her out of the bath. Bill woke up and became conscious after her ear was pulled quite violently to get a pain response. She was then said to become emotional. Police said that it looked like she had written a suicide note or booklet. She was taken to the local hospital and detained under the Mental Health Act. A blue notebook had been found on the kitchen island at the property, and it was taken with Bill to the Royal Lancaster Infirmary and given to the mental health team. A nurse handed the book to the police and asked them to read it. The police officer found it disturbing, as it seemed that it was saying that she had killed her long-term partner and hidden him. As a result, the police in Northampton were informed and they went to go and check on the house. At first they found nothing suspicious, but Cumbrian police gave more details from the booklet that Bill had written and asked them to do a more thorough search. The second search on the 17th of March reported that the walls looked as if they had been recently painted and the master bedroom was very clean. Traces of blood were, however, discovered on the base of a divan bed, the floor, the underside of the carpet, a chest of drawers, a lamp and a landing wall. Then they found a mattress in the basement along with a blood-stained duvet in a bin bag, and the house was declared a murder scene. Police also noticed freshly laid bark in the garden. Northants police asked Lancashire police, where Bill was being held, to arrest Bill for murder. As I said, the house was declared a crime scene. Northamptonshire police asked for Bill to be arrested on suspicion of murder. Mr. Billingham's iPhone had been found at the holiday lodge during the search, and data extracted from Mr. Billingham's phone revealed a sharp decline in the number of outgoing messages and calls during November 2021, before dropping down to zero calls by December 2021. Police found an area of interest at the back garden of 71 Moore Street. It was a mound in a narrow rectangular area between the fence separating next door and the wall of the kitchen, near some French window doors. When investigating the mound, which consisted of carpet, soil, concrete blocks, planks and bark chippings, police discovered a partially wrapped body which was partially clothed. It seemed that a duvet cover had been wrapped around the body and the head was wrapped in black plastic. The remains were partly mummified and thought to have been left there for almost 5 months. The body was so badly decomposed that Billingham was identified by his dental records. The police were at the house and digging up the garden for 4 days. A neighbour told the press that he could see the garden from his bedroom windows, and he could see the forensic officers and search teams with their cadaver dogs. He said that the garden was piles of mud. Another neighbour said he knew Nick Billingham, smallest chap, very fit looking, always smiling, very nice, though I hadn't seen him in the street for months. The pathologist concluded that the cause of death was a single stab wound through the neck, cutting the jugular. Billingham had been dead for almost 5 months when his body was found. Fiona Bilwer had been remanded by Northampton magistrates to appear before a judge at Northampton Crown Court on Tuesday, March 22, 2022. And would next appear for a pre-trial hearing on Tuesday, the April the 19th. During the hearing at Northampton Crown Court, the defendant spoke only to confirm her name and plea. Remanding her in custody, Her Honour, Judge Adrienne Lucking, adjourned the case for a further hearing at the same court on September the 6th, 2022. Sorry, that should be 2023. The trial was pushed back by another 3 months due to new evidence coming to light. This was thought to be phone and computer evidence. A proposed 3 to 4 week trial was penciled in at Northampton Crown Court during March 2023. The murder trial started on the 13th of March 2023. The judge was Adrienne Lucking. The main prosecution barrister was Stephen Perrion, King's Counsel. The main defence barrister was Andrew Wheeler, King's Counsel. The prosecution opening statement argued that Fiona Bill had become unhappy with her partner having affairs and had decided to kill him rather than to finish with him. Prosecutions say that from available evidence, it's likely that she killed Billingham in their bedroom on November the 1st, 2021. It was thought that she suggested a sex session with light bondage. She would tie him up and blindfold him. This would make him vulnerable to attack when she stabbed him in the neck. I would just like to take a moment to examine a rather strange aspect of the killing. Billingham was stabbed just the once, which medical opinion on the stab wound argued that Billingham would have been conscious and breathing for a few minutes following the attack. The stab wound was roughly 4 centimetres in length, and there was no signs that Billingham had put up a fight. But an injury to the jugular vein would have bled out, but it would not have led to immediate collapse. The body would still function until enough blood had drained from the body, causing it to collapse. The point being that Billingham did not seem to react in any way after the stabbing, suggested that he was either drugged or tied. This was never examined in the court case. Anyway, after Billingham was dead, Bill then moved his body into the garden. She tied and wrapped his body, bought items for B&Q to bury his body. Bill then painted and cleaned the bedroom of and disposed of his belongings. She told members of the family, her family, that he had left her for another woman. She used his phone to send messages to friends to pretend he was still alive and carried on her normal life as if nothing had happened. The prosecution then said 3.5 months later, Bill came to the attention of the police in Kendal, as we've already described, when she was found in a bath with superficial cuts to her wrist, and she was detained under the Mental Health Act. So, in court, the prosecution said it was going to outline its case, working backwards, in 8 chapters. Number 1, how the body was found. Number 2, the consideration of Bill's notebook. 3, Bill and Billingham relationship. 4, Billingham's work colleagues. 5, other women he had relationships with. 6, family members of both Billingham and Bill. 7, material covered by the police during their investigation. And 8, a sequence of events. This podcast will not methodically go through each chapter, but concentrate on the most relevant points. I've already described how the body was found. It would be necessary to comment on the notebook now found by the police. Bill had written in a notebook that she believed Mr. Billingham was cheating on her, and she had decided to kill him by October 2021. The notebook contained various claims made by Bill. It's not known when the notebook was written, although an Apple note discovered on Bill's iPhone suggested saying, "Confession, final farewell." It said, "I'm beginning this book to you on Saturday the 12th of February 2022. It's been 3 months and 12 days. I'm not a total monster. I know what I did." So that date suggests that the notebook was started on the day that she killed Billingham, on the 1st of November 2021. Bill said she had no recollection of writing the notebook, saying, "I don't know if it was me showing what I remembered or if it was what I was planning." If that makes sense. The prosecution read out passages from the notebook. These included quotes from the film Thelma and Louise, which is a film celebrating women taking control against abusive men. In the notebook, Bill had written that everybody had a breaking point. She said her mental health had been deteriorating since he, I presume Billingham, was fucking around again. Whenever he was cheating, he would up the ante on belittling, moaning and criticising. Billingham was never mentioned by name in the notebook, although it is clear that she was referring to him. The notebook continued that she'd thought about leaving, but things he said and did fueled my dark side. She called her dark side Tulip 22, who was reckless, fearless and efficient. The notebook then listed aspects of her life which she was unhappy about with her partner, such as being forced to sleep downstairs if she annoyed him in any way. Bill wrote that when she went downstairs, she got high smoking cannabis, and this allowed her alter ego, Tulip 22, to take over. The notebook said that Halloween, the 31st of October 2021, sealed it, as he was vile. She had to sit on the kitchen floor and wept. That night she smoked and planned as Tulip 22, what she was going to do. She wrote that she'd planned it mentally many times before. She planned to run a bath, and while he was in the bath, she would give him to wear an eye mask. The eye mask with the slogan, "My Morning After Face." She said she had a knife and a dressing gown. She also had access to a chisel, a bin bag and cable ties. The booklet then said, "It's harder than I thought it would be hiding a body. Moving a body is much more difficult than it looks on TV." The booklet also said that it was her rambling thoughts book. How I ended up here. 17 years of him being argumentative, mean, cruel, belittling, nasty, lying, cheating, gambling, narcissistic, controlling, emotionally abusive, verbally abusive, sexually demeaning. It's also said that she would wait for him to go to bed before getting high and letting Tulip 22 out. Fiona Beale was absent from work from Northampton's Eastfield Academy between November the 1st and November the 12th. She was saying she had COVID. COVID rules give a 10-day isolation period from positive symptoms. She told her head teacher that she had COVID, and when she returned to work, she said her partner had left her. The head teacher said they were no concerned over Beale's work with her Year 6 class. The court was then shown three CCTV footage clips of Beale purchasing compost, decorative stones and bark chippings from the B&Q store at Nian Valley Retail Park on November the 13th, 2021. Also on December the 13th, 2021, and then on December the 22nd the same year. This suggested that the body of Billingham had not, by that time, been concealed in the outdoor space, or had not been totally covered. Throughout the months after she killed Billingham, the prosecution said she used to use his phone to pretend to friends and family he was still alive. She sent messages over a number of weeks from Billingham, including messages sent to Billingham's mother, including a text wishing her a happy new year. Andrew Wheeler, Beale's defence barrister, claimed that Beale's relationship with Mr. Billingham was coercive. Wheeler told the court that Billingham was psychologically domineering and over the years wore her down until she was quite literally broken. He said that all the notes that Beale had left were clear evidence of a disturbed mind. This aspect could be developed later on in the trial when a number of expert witnesses gave psychological evidence which was to prove contradictory and confusing. Fiona Beale's father, Alan, gave evidence that, as well as having an affairs, Nicholas Billingham had been very controlling in the relationship with his daughter. The Beale family was said to find Billingham difficult and unfriendly. Jennifer Beale, Fiona Beale's sister, was questioned over claims that the victim was belittling and controlling, but she could not give examples of this in court. She told the court that Beale was devastated on finding out that Mr. Billingham got another woman pregnant in 2018, and Mr. Billingham had left Beale for other women in the past. Jennifer Beale said Nick carried on as if pregnancy didn't exist. Andrew Wheeler questioned Jennifer for the defence, saying, "Putting the affair to one side, the relationship between Fiona and Nick, which again, to use your words, was described as poor, Nick had a bad debt coming into the relationship, and throughout the relationship he wasn't good with money, and he did not prioritise spending well. He would change cars even if it wasn't the right thing financially to do at the time. He had a history of gambling, he lacked responsibility to commitment, and was critical on a regular basis of Fiona." In cross-examination, the prosecution asked Jennifer to provide examples when Mr. Billingham had made belittling comments towards Beale. Jennifer said, "I can't think of any examples right now." She then began to recall an occasion when she brought lunch around to their Earls Barton home and Mr. Billingham was hoovering while they were still eating and told them they were making a mess. "Where is the belittling comment?" asked the Mr. Perrion, the prosecution barrister. Jennifer Beale did not answer. Jennifer then said that Billiam would find it unfair when Bill was at home for the school holidays while he was working, so he would take unpaid leave. That, would you say, is an element of control? Mr. Perrion asked. The court heard that Jennifer had not seen her sister and Mr. Billiam together since 2018, 3 years before his alleged murder. Mr. Perrion asked Jennifer, "So every bit of information you have about their relationship has come from Fiona?" "Yes," Jennifer confirmed. It was interesting that the family of Fiona Bill was cross-examined as though they were defence witnesses, as if there was a doubt whether evidence could be fully trusted. They did not like Billiam, and they were probably blaming him for the situation that Fiona Bill was finding herself in. The defence barrister, Andrew Wheeler, wanted to build up an image of Fiona Bill as somebody who was depressed and had been on antidepressants for most of her adult life, and had other issues, and she was being manipulated by Billiam, causing her to become mentally unwell. Wheeler said that Bill did not remember the events of killing her partner, although he accepted that it was clear that she did kill him. When asked by the defence if Bill could recall anything about the stabbing, she said no. "I thought I'd hit him over the head and that it happened in the bath." She told the prosecution that she remembered sitting by the back door, wrapped in a blanket, and had a cut on her head. She thought it was longer for a day, although she couldn't be sure. Bill denied the murder, but admitted manslaughter on the grounds that her pre-existing mental health issues had been made worse by the controlling and manipulative behaviour of Nicholas and Billiam. Bill claimed that she did not remember a lot of detail. She said that she did not remember much at all about what actually happened all the months afterwards. She told friends and family that Billiam had left her for another woman. Bill talked about her relationship with Billiam, saying that it was good in the beginning, although he had certain quirks, such as he didn't want his name to be on any official documents. Bill explained how Nick Billiam came from was originally very loving and caring, to telling her off when she failed to clean the house properly. As time went on, cleaning became a huge issue between the couple. Billiam was said to be obsessive. For example, Bill said that if he thought I hadn't cleaned the bathroom tiles properly, he would take me to the bathroom and teach me the correct way or demonstrate how I should do it. Billiam was accused of being a neat freak. Fiona Bill wrote everything had to be exactly how he wanted it. He was, in short, very controlling in his relationship. Billiam would throw his dinner in the bin if the plate wasn't heated. Items in the cupboard had to be facing outwards. And similar aspects, things. Bill referred to Billiam in the notebooks as priding himself on being a sociopath, and that after they bought a house together, it was as if he owned me and didn't have to try anymore. Bill wrote that she regretted what she had done, but had sat back for too long. She wrote that the world had become grey. She said she wasn't scared of death, that she had no nightmares or trouble sleeping. The defence said that Bill was said to be mentally broken by the time of the killing because of the coercive behaviour. The defence said that the case was not as straightforward as the prosecution suggested. There's no dispute in this case that she unlawfully killed Nicholas and Billiam. What the case is really about is her state of mind. The prosecution thought it was convenient that Fiona Bill was unable to recall many of the details of the killing. The prosecution said that the notes written in the notebook made it clear that Bill knew what she was doing. There was no remorse in her actions, and many of the observations could be analysed as self-pity. Whereas the defence claimed that the writings in the notebook were evidence of a disturbed mind. It was never made clear why the trial broke for a 2-week break early in April 2023. Easter was in the first week of April. The jury were told not to bother to return to court until April the 18th, which seemed most unusual. When they returned, it was expected that Bill would be giving evidence, but the trial was delayed again when it was explained that without any details that Bill was unable to give evidence. She had arrived in court about an hour late. I am guessing here that she tried to harm herself in some way, as I can't think of any other reason. When the court restarted, Bill was not called to give evidence as expected. Instead, the court was given evidence that transactions were regularly made on Billiam's bank cards in the days and weeks after November the 1st, the day it was thought that he was murdered. These included some large transactions, including a payment of £174 to B&Q on November the 11th, 2021. I'm assuming that this was Bill buying items to repaint the bedroom where the murder was thought to have taken place. The prosecution questioned Beale about purchases she made on Mr. Billingham's credit cards and Amazon account, including heavy-duty refuse bags, Venetian blind cleaner, in mattress protector for a double bed, all ordered in the early hours of November the 2nd, 2021, the day after that Mr. Billingham was killed. On later dates, Bill used her partner's car to purchase sex toys and watched adult content on his phone. April the 27th, the court was presented with documents showing details of loans taken out by the couple and Mr. Billingham's spending and gambling habits. The court heard that Billingham had lost more than £23,500 to three gambling websites from August 2020 to October 2021. It was proven that Nick Billingham was a very difficult partner, and it was a wonder why Bill stayed with him. It was thought that Billingham had a share in the house. It's not known what contribution he made to the mortgage or upkeep of the property. Like many people in the current property market, were they forced to stay together because of financial arrangements? 28th of April 2023, Fiona Bill gave a long and detailed story about her relationship with Nick Billingham, in which she said she was a victim of controlling, coercive psychological abuse, which she did not realise at the time because it was not actual physical abuse, but it helped explain her frame of mind. When asked if she thought about killing Mr. Billingham by October 2021, she said she had fleeting thoughts of thinking about it would be better if he wasn't here. She said, "I suppose wishing he was dead sometimes was true. But would this be enough for a manslaughter charge as opposed to murder? Would it mean that a person suffering from depression, who killed a narcissistic controlling partner and cover it up, the way Bill did, weren't really committing murder? It was just manslaughter." It was difficult for the court to decide. Bill told the court that she could not remember writing the journals, which in effect confessed to the murder. After this date, the case seemed to be delayed yet again. No reason was given for the delay, other than legal reasons. On May the 9th, 2023, Judge Lucking had told jurors that the estimated trial date had been extended now from mid-May to mid-June. It was now expected that the jurors would retire to consider the murder-accused teacher's verdict in the week commencing June the 12th, 2023. On May the 10th, Fiona Bill was cross-examined when she said that the journals were just thoughts in her head. She didn't remember writing them down. Many questions were answered, "I don't know," or "I can't remember." The prosecution barrister read aloud a further extract from Bill's journal, which read, "Still my actions haunt me. I sometimes catch myself and remember what I did, and then remember my cover story. Neither seemed convincing." "I don't remember writing that," Bill said to the court. "What was the cover story?" Mr. Perrion, the prosecution barrister, asked. "That he'd run off with another woman," Bill said. Bill had written in a journal that people may blame the weed. When asked if she could have been mentally affected by her cannabis smoking when she killed Mr. Billingham, she answered, "Possibly." For unstated reason, the court did not sit on May the 12th, the 16th or 17th. Then on May the 18th, the court heard from psychiatrist Dr. Amir Ijaz, who examined Bill on four separate occasions during 2022. He and other expert witnesses agreed that there was no evidence that Bill pretended to have a poor memory of the killing and that her amnesia was considered to be potentially genuine. So, not really saying anything. Ijaz and other psychiatrist expert witnesses, including the famous expert witness, Dr. Jane Monckton Smith, spent days of court time not saying anything definite. For example, Bill was thought to be suffering a partial diminished responsibility because she suffered an abnormality in mental functioning due to a recurrent depressive disorder. This apparently substantially impaired Bill's ability to form rational judgments and exercise self-control, and her disorder was a significant factor in causing her to kill Mr. Binningham. The prosecution were making the point that to murder anyone required an inability to form rational judgments and exercise self-control. So the expert witnesses were not saying anything other than just common sense. In cross-examining expert witness, it was shown that the reports were based on Fiona Bill's doctor records, her mental health assessment after her arrest, her medical records in prison, and the conversation she had with the psychiatrists. The point was made by the prosecution that Bill had received help and medications that she needed over the years to treat her depression, and she went on to succeed in life, graduating from university and securing a job as a teacher. Dr. Eger has said that depression affects people in different ways, and her ability to do certain things did not take away the suffering in her life. Dr. John Cordwell, examining Bill closely during 2022 at Her Majesty's Prison, Peterborough, concluded that Bill met the criteria for ongoing severe depression and post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD, at the time of the examination. However, he was unable to say if the post-traumatic stress disorder was a cause of her murdering Billingham or because she had committed the murder of Billingham. The prosecution pointed out that Nicholas Billingham was the victim, not the defendant, and during the 17 years relationship with Mr. Billingham, Bill travelled free to her parents' house, to her sister's address in London, to meet friends for dinner, and to control her own spending. The prosecutor added that Bill previously admitted dishonesty and fraudulently claiming benefits. He asked Dr. Caldwell how that information sits happily with his assessment of coercive control Mr. Billingham allegedly inflicted on Bill. Dr. Caldwell confirmed that some of the details were not consistent with coercive control. 23rd of May 2023 saw another huge delay in the trial. This was due to a member of counsel in the trial being unwell, and it was decided by all parties that it was not possible to continue sitting the trial that week, so no further evidence was heard until midday on Tuesday, June the 6th. June the 6th, more expert witnesses were called to give evidence. The evidence was not very useful. For example, another expert witness said that Bill had symptoms compatible with that of post-traumatic stress disorder, but it wasn't clear if these symptoms developed before or as a result of the killing, or that Bill's memory loss could be possibly a result of dissociative amnesia, being unable to remember after a traumatic or stressful event. But that expert also said that Bill may just be unwilling to talk about the killing because of the shame, or attempting to avoid full responsibility, in which case the truthfulness of her account is up for the jury to decide. So, another witness which was a bit of a waste of time. Consultant forensic psychologist Dr. Jennifer Cutler examined Bill in September 2022. Talking about Bill's behaviour after killing her partner, Dr. Cutler said, "This is a period of time where a lot is achieved by Ms. Bill in terms of covering up the death of Mr. Billingham, and some of those adaptive functions involve quite complex cognitive operations." The expert witness goes on to provide examples such as Ms. Bill's ability to mimic Mr. Billingham's voice in text messages to his family members to pretend he was still alive, the ability to dispose of a body and obtain the necessary equipment that required, and then her ability to return to work without any apparent disintegration. I think it would be fair to say that the questions being asked about the effectiveness of the expert witness psychologists in helping the jury understand why Bill acted as she did, and was it really worth all that time spent in court? During mid-June, witnesses were being called that lived near Bill and Billingham, that had some contact with them. This did not seem to greatly aid understanding. We heard that Billiam was a cheeky, chappy type, who would hit on nearby women if he had the chance. He was described as smiley and outgoing, who liked cars and football. Bill was described as more subdued, but more outgoing when she was working at school. Some women felt uncomfortable around Billiam, who described him as being over-friendly. The trial was going into its 14th week at Northampton Crown Court, although it had only sat for 10 weeks, when it was halted by the judge for legal reasons, which was not stated. This was in late June 2023. Usually a case is stopped if the prosecution makes a basic error that cannot be mitigated by jury instructions, such as inappropriate remarks. But there did not seem to be any evidence of this. There may have been something that the jury should not have heard in evidence that was considered prejudicial to the case, and that could not be reported as it could prejudice a further trial. Though I can't think what information may have come before the jury that made a fair trial impossible. Maybe there was fresh evidence that undermined the whole trial. It seemed clear that Bill would have probably confessed to manslaughter with some mitigating factors which would have resulted in a lower sentence. But the prosecution seemed determined to stick with murder and would not accept any diminished responsibility plea. I think the judge had decided the case was going nowhere and needed a fresh start. This case will be starting again as a fresh trial at the Old Bailey around the latter half of April 2024, and I would imagine it will get press coverage. I will post a podcast when we find out the result during July 2024. So that concludes this podcast. I would like to thank Damselfly for the background music and thank you for listening. Until next time, I will say goodbye.